Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's working. Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm starting. This is the first time I've ever recorded on my iPod or my iPad. So Jacob gave me this really cool microphone and stuff to use. So this is the first time I'm trying it out.
Oh, cool.
So welcome to the Flavor by Jessica podcast.
Thank you.
I feel like I should let everybody know you're my aunt before this continues, you know, so that way they feel like they're like missing out on something. So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, go for it.
Okay. My name is Lisa Johnson and I'm Jessica's aunt.
Yep. I guess tell us what you do for a living.
I am a speech and language pathologist and I work in a local school district.
Okay. So for people who don't know what that is, explain it a little bit.
I work with lots of different kids, some with speech errors and can't understand when they're talking, and then some with language delays where they don't understand language or they can't communicate.
Wow, that's really interesting. So what got you into that?
Well, I was in college and I started out as social work.
Okay.
And I didn't like it.
It just sounds about right for most college students.
Yeah, just didn't seem to fit me for, and I took the first semester of college or the social work, you know, intro class, and I took the the regular old basic college credits you have to take right away at the beginning. And right. I just didn't like the social work class, and I was sitting in my bed one night and looking through the book for different ideas, and I came across the communication disorders is what it's called as a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
And decided to take the intro class the following semester and loved it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like I like know this stuff, but the world doesn't. So
right.
Excited, but I already know all this. So, so how long did it take you to get to where you're at?
Well, college, I took 5 years to do my bachelor's because I studied abroad. I went to Europe for a semester.
Okay.
And
like that.
And then got married one semester. So that postponed.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's why it was 5 years to get my bachelor's. And then you have to do 2 years of master's. So it took me 7 years to get through college, but that's okay.
Right, right.
Because now this is my 27th year of working in a school district.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
So, I didn't even know that. That's cool.
Goes fast.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's so funny because, Nicole, my other aunt, for everyone who's listening, she talks about teaching all the time too. And it's so crazy to hear your guys's, stories and all the stuff that's gone on and how many years it's been. It just doesn't feel like it's been that long,
Nice.
But it feels lately more like it's been that long because, Jacob is getting older and he's like in college now and
so right.
This young lady now. So it's definitely very weird. It's definitely eye opening now,
Yeah.
Definitely makes me feel old, which is gross. So, so you said that you went to Europe for a semester. How was that?
Yeah.
That was probably incredible.
Oh yeah. I stayed in England. I went to college in England and lived in a castle.
What?
So actually the castle part was where we had all our classes.
Okay.
So we had to, of course we had to take courses when we were there because we're in college. So, and most of the courses were just general ed classes.
Right.
And, so the most of the classes were in the castle part of it. And then I lived in the stable area.
Nice. Okay.
That was fixed into living quarters for everybody, which was really nice. So
being next to goats or anything.
Yeah. So we had to walk. Well, in the castle part. Yeah. There's like the gold room and there was the. It was all different. The main entry was gorgeous. I mean, it was a beautiful area.
Yeah.
And that was about,
I totally didn't say gold. I said goats, but either way.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, no goats in the stable.
That's okay.
No horses either.
Like,
but
wait a second. Gold. I'm like, okay, wait. We're in
That's funny. Yeah, so we... I went with a friend of mine. So we, a good friend of mine that I had lived with in college, we went together and of course, so, that was fun, but every weekend we went on a trip.
Oh, really? Cool.
So yeah, it was either a trip around England somewhere, or it was a long weekend trip. So we went to Paris one weekend, we went to Rome for a weekend, went to Ireland for a weekend.
That's my next.
Yeah. Scotland. Yeah. A lot of areas around England. We went to London twice.
Nice.
And then after, when we were done with our course or our semester course, we had a week trip and we couldn't pick where we wanted to go.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah. And we went to Russia.
Whoa. Okay. Nice.
And that was back when it was still communism.
Oh, wow.
So that's
crazy and scary.
Very interesting. Yeah. We arrived on an airplane and had surrounded by communists in uniform with machine guns.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Surrounding our plane. And then they came on the plane.
Oh my gosh.
Check us all out.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it was. So we were all like, should we get off the plane or not?
Yeah, right. Like, oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So we went to Russia and got food poisoning while we were there.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But you didn't die. You know?
No, we didn't die. That, no.
You know?
But it was eventful.
Yeah, sounds eventful. So, like, what kind of stuff did you do there?
We did the typical tourist things, but there was a lot of rules that you had to follow. Like you couldn't take pictures of any of the, I don't know what they would be called there, but policemen.
Okay.
We weren't allowed to take pictures of them.
Oh, that's great.
Or anything else that we saw that was, you know, not good.
Right. Exactly. I wonder if it's like that in Rome still, because there's like people now, because I was in Italy this last year and there were like men in like full camo and like full machine gun, like just kind of walking. They're one of them. So
hopefully that's interesting.
It's scary. It's like, you know, here that it just seems so crazy to here in America that somebody could just be walking around with a machine gun.
Right.
There it's just so normal.
Yeah. Yep.
But I mean, granted, there is a lot of crazy stuff that happens in Rome. Like I saw like this gypsy woman totally like, so this gypsy woman walked up to the, I was kind of watching because my tour guide had told us, you know, if like a gypsy or somebody walks up to you and they tell you, you know, they'll read your palm or whatever, don't fall for it because it's not free. So I was kind of watching this like gypsy woman and this girl had like fallen for it. And so she's like reading her palm and then the girl went to walk away and this gypsy woman grabbed her arm and pulled her to the ground.
Oh no.
It was crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't expect it to actually happen, you know, and the poor girl is like, you know, I don't owe you any money. And this gypsy woman's like yelling at her. It was crazy. Hmm. And that's normal there. I mean, because of all the tourism and, the gypsies like to hang around and steal your stuff and harass you.
Oh, the tourists the Romans in Rome they're interesting. You know, they're very much they want you to be their friends like way too close.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it, like
right, like first bubble, thank you.
Yeah, we met a couple men at some of the ruins and they're like, oh, let you come into my shack and look at the artifacts, and they're trying to kiss our cheeks and we're like, no, that's not what you do in America.
Oh, that's terrifying. Funny. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I don't, I'm trying to think if I had like a weird experience in Italy, but I don't think I had like something. I did see, we were driving on, or we were in Rome, so this was like the last place we stopped before I came home, and We were on one of the, they have like subway trains, like transits.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this woman on one of them one night. We were coming back from the bars and this lady was wearing a dog. She full on had like a dog vest on with her dog in it. I felt like
gosh.
The best part of my trip. I was like freaking out. I thought it was so funny. It was awesome to see that though. She was so cool. I have a picture of her actually, because I just thought it was so funny. I'm like, she's wearing a dog. Like, and everybody thought I was crazy, because the entire trip I just kept going, look guys, look at that dog. So I was more intrigued by all the dogs there, because they just like roam around. There's just dogs everywhere there.
Yeah. Yep. But, that's
so
true.
So, you know, you did the trip and now you're doing this. So has it led to, I mean, your job, has it led to anything else in your life? Like, I know, you know, you were a foster mom for a while. And that kind of thing. I remember that a lot, because we, you know, me and Emma would come for the summers and you'd always have foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was so cool, you know, that you did that. You know, now that I'm an adult and I realize how, you know, how much cooler it is now that I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's so amazing you did that. I mean, what brought you to do that?
I think just working with the kids at school and seeing their family lives and you know, that they just needed someone to care and take care of them and you know, guide them down the right path. And so we kind of got into that, and I don't know how many kids we fostered over the years, but we started with two brothers. One had Down syndrome and one had autism.
Yeah, I think,
and
I remember.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Right. So they actually, the one with Down syndrome lived with us for a little over a month. And then an uncle took over and took both of the brothers. And then we ended up doing respite for him every other weekend.
Oh, nice.
For quite a while. That was quite a few years we did that.
Yeah.
And then we had lots of different kids living here for a couple weeks at a time or several months at a time. And
right.
But I think we got burned out. And,
right.
You know, it can be a frustrating situation when then the parents of the kids aren't working with you as well.
Right. Right.
And that's kind of why we decided to stop. And
yeah.
We thought we'd get back into it, but we haven't yet. So
So did you keep in contact with any of them, or can you do that? Is that even?
Yeah, you can. We haven't kept in contact with any of the ones we probably would have liked to keep in closest contact with. Actually, we couldn't keep in contact with them. They were ended up being placed in an area several hours away to be away from the parents. They were kind of in a situation where we couldn't keep in contact anymore. So
that's a bummer.
How
old was your oldest foster kid?
She was 14.
Okay.
So yeah.
Have you had babies?
We did have a baby for about a month. We would have loved to keep the baby longer, but the baby's parents actually lived in a different county.
Okay.
So we couldn't keep the baby any longer. They had to find a different home.
Oh, okay.
But that was one thing we kept saying, we would like to take babies, but we just never were offered a baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah. After that.
Oh, that's so crazy. So, I mean, that must have been hard. I mean, I feel like I would fall in love with every single one of them.
Yeah. So, yeah. Quite a few. They were challenging though. We had one family, two sisters. They were brought to us about 7:38 o'clock at night and had a garbage bag full of clothes. And as a social worker just said, okay, there you go, and left it with us. And we're like, okay.
Right.
And so we started going through their things in their bag and found lice solution for their hair and combs. And sure enough, they had lice. And so we had to clean their hair that night before we put them to bed.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's not always fun.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine how it feels for those kids too, because, you know, I've only done a few episodes of the pod, but, you know, I have talked about my mom and kind of my past a little bit and, you know, my anxiety and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I mean, my childhood wasn't horrific, but it was rough. So I can't imagine that, you know, because I thought mine was bad, but there are people out there who really could, you know, use the help. And it's awesome that you and Alan did that.
That'd be nice. I sure would like to keep doing it, but
yeah,
Alan doesn't want to right now. So
that's okay. You know, you finally just got rid of kids. I'm sure that, you know, he wants to take a minute with I can't get that.
Right. Yep.
I feel like, you know, he's paid his dues.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah. So, because of what you do, is that why Ariana went into what she does?
I think so. She job shadowed me like when she was in eighth grade, I think.
Okay.
And she hated it. She's like, I can't, you never sit down and you do this all the time and you're so busy and blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, okay. And so she had decided to go into nursing.
Yep.
And that was kind of the original plan. And then all of a sudden she job shadowed me again, like I think a senior in high school, and then she loved it. So.
Yeah. That's funny. That's cool though. That's, I mean, I guess we all have our little story, you know, cause I mean, for me, it was when I first started school, it was for music. And then all of a sudden, like in farm tech for a semester. And then I did, what else did I did a bunch of different stuff before I finally decided like art was going to be it. And then of course I dropped out anyway, so it didn't really matter, but it's so for, you know, the people out there who are listening or the young adults who haven't started school or whatever, I do like to make that clear, you know, for myself that college wasn't for me, but I didn't know it wasn't for me. I feel like it's a good thing that I went and I experienced it and I did the college thing for a little while, but I also really regret it because I'm still paying off student loans now, you know? So it's one of those things that I feel like if I have just somewhat of a little voice, I just want, you know, people out there to know it's not crazy to take a year or two and think about what you want to do.
Yeah. Think about it. Yep.
You know, in my whole life, I wanted to be a choir teacher. And then I did student teaching one semester and hated it. So, you know, it's just, you think what you want is going to be what you do. And then you all of a sudden end up designing teeth. So, you know, who knows? You never really know, I guess.
That's true. And I always say that college is not for everybody. I've said that, you know, for years that we need people that want to, you know, work at McDonald's or that want to be mechanics. You know, you don't have to go to college and have a 4-year degree or 6-year degree or whatever.
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, that's how I feel now too. It's if I wouldn't have found the job I found, I think I would be a little less inclined to say that, I guess. But now that, I mean, I found my job in a bar. So I, you know, it's just then I can't imagine not doing what I do. I love the place I work. So, you know, and I definitely did have people in my life who said, you know, are you sure you want to go? Is this what you want to do? And, you know, I always had this like mindset that that was what you were supposed to do. Go to, you know, finish high school, go to college, get married, have kids. You know, that was always supposed to be the steps you take. But in reality, it doesn't work that way. And I feel like poor high school students, you know, they don't get that view a lot of the time, you know, they get to go to college, get the degree, you know, and true, you don't need it, you know, and it's a lot of money. I mean, it's a huge commitment to make. So
yeah, it is a lot of money. Yeah.
Right. You know, unless you're like very committed and it's what you want to do. I love that I have an outlet now to be able to tell kids to think about it. You know,
yeah,
I would have, you know, I was stubborn and I was going to college no matter what, but I wish now, you know, it was like, I wish I would have listened to my dad just a little bit more. But I suppose that's how it goes when you're young anyway. So,
no, yeah, you don't know what you want to do. And yeah, thinking it through for a year or two after high school, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right, exactly.
Mike Carter, he didn't want to go to or anywhere at first. And we kind of pushed him, I guess, to go do something.
Right.
And so I'm glad he found out that it wasn't for him and
yeah,
got his trucking license and he's doing what he does. And we need people that can drive truck and haul right. food pieces and
right.
get things around. So
yeah,
but he's happy with doing what he's doing.
Right. And see, and that's, I feel like that's a big thing I've pushed in the last couple of podcasts when I talk about work is definitely do something that you love because then it doesn't feel like work. You know,
oh, yeah.
like,
yep.
I mean, and I never realized that. I mean, that's such a cliche saying, but I never really truly believed that until I found where I'm at now. And it's just such an incredible place that I can't imagine being anywhere else because I was miserable everywhere else. You know, I mean, just some of the crazy things that happened while just waitressing, it's like, ugh, so happy to be doing what I'm doing and having dogs in the office and all that kind of good stuff. So yeah, it's nice to be able to, you know, it's just crazy. Cause you know, I say like follow your dream and stuff. And obviously making teeth was never my dream, but now it is, you know, now it's like my, oh, I hope I can keep doing this. Cause I feel like I learn something new every single day, you mm-hmm. know? So it's just such a cool job. It's, you know, I'm on my feet and I get to design. And so there's still kind of the art aspect to it, which I like, because, you know, I feel like I
yeah. could
if there wasn't. So, you know, that's always cool for me. But after the work and fostering and all that. So I don't know if you want to talk about this, and we don't have to on the podcast if you don't want to, but you had breast cancer. Do you want to talk about that? Or?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. So explain to me and to everyone, because mm-hmm. I mean, I know the gist, but I don't know everything. So mm-hmm. if you want to explain what happened and how you found out and recovery and all that.
Let's see. I had felt a lump just before we went on a trip to Hawaii, and Alan and I were married 25 years then. And so okay. we went to Hawaii for our 25th yeah. wedding anniversary. Okay. And I had felt kind of a small lump, and I thought, okay, I have an appointment in July when we got back. And so I wasn't concerned or anything.
Great. Right.
I've had, you know, sometimes you just have like fibrous type tissue, they call it. Before right. and so it's never been anything to worry about, so okay. I wasn't concerned. And okay. So I had my mammogram, and they called me back the next week and said they wanted me to come in the next day and have another mammogram, I believe, and then possibly an ultrasound. I'm like, oh, all right.
Right.
And I thought, okay, yeah, nothing's going to come out of it. It's just going to, because I've had that before, actually.
Okay.
I had that probably 5-7 years ago. I had the same exact thing, a follow-up mammogram and an ultrasound.
Okay.
So I wasn't concerned.
Okay.
And so mammogram, I had the follow-up ultrasound, and then immediately they said, we need you to come back in an hour and have a biopsy.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, okay.
Yes, but then you're a little
nervous. Then I was a little concerned, but I've known people who have had a biopsy and it's turned out to be nothing.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, I guess it's just another step I have to take.
Yeah.
And so then they said that they would call me after the biopsy then. So then I did the biopsy, and afterwards then they would call, or no, I had a follow-up appointment a couple days later.
Okay.
And so I wasn't too concerned. I was a little nervous after the biopsy, because it kind of like hit me then. I was like, oh my gosh, I just did a biopsy,
you know? Right.
Like,
right.
Kind of hit me then, and right. I was kind of upset after that. But
well, yeah,
I did fine, and I waited a couple of days and went in for my appointment, and yep, had definitely had breast cancer, which shocked me. And Alan came to the appointment when during the biopsy and everything, Alan was out of town. But then he was back in town when I had the appointment. So he came with me. And So it was pretty shocking. You know, it's hard to explain when you get news like that, you know, what you're thinking. I mean, obviously you think of all the different, you know, horrible scenarios and then more so than the positive, you just hear about the horrible things. So
exactly. Well, and that's as far as people do. I mean, that's I think pretty normal.
Yeah. So through all the doctor appointments and everything, I ended up having a double mastectomy. Wow. And and luckily I'm one of the lucky ones that didn't do chemo. So they have a new test now that gives you a score, and kind of the score is kind of gathered with your tissue and things like that from your operation, and tells you that if chemo is going to help or not. And my score was real close. So it's borderline to having chemo. So my oncologist kind of left it up to me what I wanted to do. And I just said, nope, I'm not going to do it, because chemo has its own horrible side effects.
Oh yeah. I know that one firsthand.
Yeah.
I went through it so many times. I can't imagine somebody going through it. I can't imagine having to go through it. So I wouldn't want to do it either, unless it was mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I just had the double mastectomy, and then I'm supposed to be on hormone suppressants for, I started my hormone suppressants then, and that led to a whole nother issue, and I had to have a complete hysterectomy.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Oh, that's crazy. Yep. Wow.
I had to have that not too long after my exchange surgery, because you have the mastectomy and then you have to do reconstruction.
Right.
And so I have FUBIs now, they're called. And that's basically what they are. They're just big blobs of balls hanging on me. Then I had to have the double complete hysterectomy. And let's see, after that, it seems like I had 4 surgeries in 10 months.
Wow.
Oh, I had to have another surgery later on to complete the mastectomy. It's like once you get the exchange and you get the saline implants put in, then there's usually flaws somewhere. Yeah. So I had my chest was caved in too much, so they boosted my chest up a little more and things like that. It's a big process.
Yeah.
And painful. Yeah.
So because you now have implants, is there still a possibility that breast cancer can come back with that? Or
then the next step to after having breast cancer and mastectomy and or lumpectomy or whatever you choose to do, you take hormone suppressants.
Okay.
And so they suppress estrogen in your body, because my type of cancer was estrogen positive, so my type of cancer feeds off estrogen and progesterone in the body.
Oh.
And so, and there's different types of breast cancer, of course. And there's kinds, you know, there's just different, lots of different kinds. It's amazing all the things that I learned during this whole process. So I take the hormone suppressants is what I was taking when it led to the needing to have the hysterectomy. And then I continued to take them a little bit longer, and they cause a lot of other issues. They cause weight gain. They cause joint pain. It was to the point where it was really debilitating.
Yeah.
And so I chose to not take them.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have about an 18-20% chance that I could have a recurrence.
Okay.
But that's a pretty low chance, I think,
compared to
the side effects of the pills.
Right.
Because if you look up how much we need estrogen in our body, it's amazing all the things estrogen does to our body. And when you suppress it and all the side effects that you have from it.
Right. It's
really very painful.
Yeah. Well, is that, so do you think that had to do with having to do the surgery on her hip?
Nope. That was a complete, something completely different. Cause I've actually had this hip problem for about 7-8 years.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You and I have talked about the hip.
Yeah.
I still, to this day, think I have something going on with my hips too, but
I wouldn't doubt it. It's probably genetic. So, or hereditary or whatever. So.
Well, and with the good old diabetes, you know.
Yep. Oh yeah.
That's my life in a nutshell. So,
Well, and I have the Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
The thyroid issues. So we all have that. So
we're all blind. We all have thyroid. It's like, how come I was the lucky one who got diabetes?
I know. I want.
But,
yeah, you're just lucky.
Yeah, I am. I take it with pride though. You know, it's definitely made me who I am. So,
yep, that's true. Yeah.
It's one of those things I could either like look at it really poorly and be sad that it's in my life, or I can just consider it a blessing in a weird way, which I kind of do, you know. It's like, it's definitely, you know, it's taught me how to take care of my body and myself, and you know, I'm not a crazy drinker, and you know, I'm a crazy drinker, but I'm not like a crazy drinker, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just, it's definitely been something that's, you know, made me who I am. So I can't argue it. It was God's plan. That's all I gotta, you know, I can't dwell on it because it's life.
That's right. Just move on.
Yeah. So because there's the 18-20% chance, so clearly you're definitely getting the checkups and you have to get tested and all that good stuff regularly.
Right. Yeah. And with having implants, you have to have an MRI 3 years after that they're implanted the first time.
Okay.
So 3 years. So my 3-year MRI is coming up in February.
Oh, wow.
And then every 2 years after that.
Oh, that's so crazy. It's already been.
Yeah.
I keep feeling like I moved to Janesville like a year ago. Like, it was actually kind of funny because I was having dinner with the fam the other night and Keith had said something about me being here for like a year and a half. And I said, Keith, I've lived in the basement for like 3.5 years. So like, but he's like, no, it hasn't been that long. I'm like, yes, it has. I mean, Sammy was still in middle school when I moved here.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so crazy to think it's even been that long. Cause I don't know. I mean, even just me being in Wisconsin, I've been in Wisconsin. It'll be 10 years this year.
Wow. It's just,
I know. Doesn't that seem nuts?
That's gone fast. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like, I mean, my 10-year school anniversary is this year.
Oh, is it really?
And it's like, what? It's just crazy. Where did all the time go? I don't know. I keep looking at it like, what? What did I do for the last 10, you know? And I mean, there are a lot of really great, crazy things I've done in the last 10 years, but you know, it's also like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long. So it's crazy to me that time is just, it's one of those weird things. I feel, you know, recently too, I really noticed that I'm noticing time more, you know, because now it's like my parents are getting older and that was never a concept that I thought about, you know, it was just, they're my parents, but now it's like my dad had both of his arms reconstructed this year. I mean, my mom's been sober for a whole year. It seems weird. It's like now I'm slowly looking at like the memories of life now instead of the smaller things, you know. It's very weird how your mindset changes once you get older.
So your dad had his arms reconstructed? What did he
do? This was years and years ago when I was a young kid. My dad had been carrying a cooler down the stairs and he slipped on the ice and he hurt his rotator cuff. So he's been dealing with that for, I don't know, 20 some years, probably longer than that.
Wow.
Well, last year he was commercial fishing and the tide came up faster than he thought it was gonna, and he was holding the side of the boat and he got sucked under the boat and he tore basically like all the ligaments and crazy stuff around his arm, so he couldn't, his arm was basically just kind of dangling. I mean, he so he got, and he got trapped on, because they're cabins on this little island, and he got trapped out there, and it was just this big horrific thing. I was actually in Italy when this happened, so
wow.
I called him actually the night it happened. It was so crazy. I called him from Italy and he answered and he sounded just awful, and I'm like, what's what's wrong? And he's like, I'm sitting in a chair, I'm trapped out at the cabin, I ripped my arm off, like basically terrifies the crap out of me, and I'm in a completely different country, you know.
Yeah.
So when I got back, I found out, you know, all the details and all that stuff. So then he basically had to have his entire arm reconstructed on that side. And that's the first one he did. And he said that was the most painful, awful thing he's ever done in his whole life. He's still recovering, you know, from that arm.
Mm-hmm.
But he went through all these complications and all this stuff. Well, because he met his deductible this year with the first arm, he just decided to do the other arm, because it would basically be free, you know. So he did the other arm. So now he can move his, the first arm he got done, you know, pretty well, but he's still got, you know, minimum movement. And then his other arm, he just got done in October.
Okay.
October. So he's still not, that arm's not moving right at all.
Yeah.
He was going to come up for Christmas, but he decided not to, because he doesn't want to be traveling and all that stuff without arm movement. And he's been staying inside. He doesn't want to slip on the ice or do something stupid, you know, and then not be able to pick himself up. So, it seems like, I mean, his other arm, he says it's, you know, it's great, because he's not in a lot of pain anymore. You know, before it was just, it was debilitating pain, you know, he couldn't do anything. So I think he's just kind of happy to finally have his life somewhat back in order a little bit. So, once that started happening, you know, it's like I FaceTime him every once in a while, and it's like I'm noticing now, like, he has gray hair and he's like just an old man, you know, but but that's what it's supposed to be like. But it just,
we get older.
I know, it's weird. It's weird, you know. It's just even after seeing my mom at Thanksgiving, you know, it's like she has gray hair now, and she's like, I don't care, this is what it's gonna be now. Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's weird.
I know,
but it's one of those things, you know, you have to start to accept, I guess. But now I'm definitely trying to see the good and everything and keep the memories and, you know, try to get closer with both of them, because I feel like that's what you're supposed to do when you turn my age.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, now that my mom, you know, is doing better, I don't want to say that she was ever not. It's a hard thing to explain for people who don't have an alcoholic in their life, because I talk about this, you know, I've talked about it a few times in the podcast, but, and I told my mom I'd like to interview her sometime, because I feel like her story should be heard, because unless you're an alcoholic, I feel like you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get it. And for a really long time, I mean, basically my whole life, I never understood it. And I feel like now, you know, that I know she's sober and she's doing better, you know, I want to build a relationship with my mom again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
good,
have that, because that's what you should want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's still hard for me to comprehend sometimes, you know. It's one of those things that I'm still learning, you know. But I feel like, you know, my mom will say this too, you know, alcoholism isn't just, it's not the person who's an alcoholic, it's a family disease, you know. So
yeah,
I feel like I, now that I'm getting to this point in my life, I feel like I do hold a lot of regrets and not having a relationship with my mother. But, you know, I talk about it a lot.
Oh, are you there?
Hello.
Yep, are you there? Okay.
Sorry, I was, somebody called me, so it came through on my iPad. So
oh,
how much of that anybody heard? But I was just kind of rambling. But I basically just said that, you know, in therapy and talking to Nicole and all that stuff, you know, it's making me realize that I didn't know how much it affected me as a kid until I became an adult. And I didn't realize that alcoholism can be traumatic for a kid. You know, and I, it was just, it seemed like a foreign concept, because it just seemed like life for me for a really long time. So now that I'm slowly getting to learn this and know this, you know, it feels good to be able to at least somewhat build a relationship with my mom before it's too late, you know.
So, right. Well, good. And,
you know, for everybody out there who is listening too, you know, if you're also struggling with that, I want people to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how long it takes, you know, because I was thinking about it today and it was like when I really started realizing that my mom, you know, had a problem, it was when, you know, I was 7. So that would have been 20 years, you know, and it's just, it took 20 years. Well, I mean, I guess I should say 19 because she's been sober for a year, but I mean, it took 19 years for it to be a thing, you know, for her to get better. But it's for people out there who are listening, I want them to know that, you know, the person who has the addiction has to be the one who wants to solve it. The family can't, you know, and it took me a really long time to understand that. And that's another thing that I really hope that I can, if I get to share any part of my life, you know, that's a big thing that I hope I can share with people and I can experience with them and let them know that they're not alone. You know, it's an extremely hard disease to be a family member of. So, you know, when I talk about it, I hope that maybe somebody out there's hearing me and knowing you're not alone and, you know, it gets better.
Right.
So, and you know, it's still a day-to-day thing, no matter what, you know, I mean, for the rest of your life, it's for your life and the person who has the addiction, it'll always be one of those things that, you know, it's okay. Yeah. But, you know, I wish that I would have had that sort of knowledge, or I wish I would have been accepting to that sort of knowledge when I was younger. So I could have realized that, you know, there was nothing I could do about it, even though I wanted to. So,
but as a kid, you don't know that,
right?
You know, you don't see that. You don't see past what's in front of you as a kid. But as you get older, you have more experiences and to add to your you know, knowledge, I guess, and then you learn that,
Well,
you know, get better, and
that was another huge, you know, impact in my life, because I feel like, you know, if my mom was never an alcoholic, I would have never got close to you or Nicole or to my family here, because I was in Alaska my whole life, you know. Right. So, because my mom moved here, you know, when I was a kid, it felt like the end of the world because I'd have to be here in the summers and all that stuff. But, you know, now, looking back on it, it was a blessing, because, you know, if I wouldn't have known Keith and Nicole as well as I did, you know, when they saw me at that party and when they asked me to move here, I, you know, I don't know where I'd even be today. So it's one of those things that God works in these incredible ways. And it just, even though it's been a rough path, you know, I'm learning from it all. And, you know, it's,
yeah, and if your mom would have stayed in Alaska, you wouldn't have come visit us every summer, and we wouldn't have the closeness that we have now. So, I mean,
you're right.
Just never know, and
you know, so it's one of those things. It's just, it's life, you know.
Life.
I felt like it was like this curse or something, but now it's life, you know, and I'm who I am because of it. So I can't argue about any of it, you know? So how it is kind of with everything, though, you know, it's just weird when you think about it, when you get to really talking about it, I guess. But, so
that's the same with my breast cancer. I mean, I can't keep thinking about what could be, you know, what might happen could be. Just kind of keep going day by day and keep on living. So there's nothing I can do about it.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, that's how it is with everything, you know, it's just, it's so crazy. You know, you don't realize these things until you start to get older and you start to think about life in a different way. So those things, but do you have anything else you want to talk about or say or throw out there? You have anything you want to pitch or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing these days, you know, because you had your essential oil.
Oh, no, I just, Yeah, I use those once in a while. I love Peace and Calming to sleep with. That's great. Peace and Calming is great. No, this has just been a hectic week at work. You know, the kids are crazy. All they talk about is Santa Claus.
And, right. That's what Nicole's been saying.
Oh, my gosh. They're just
I don't know if I'm going to make it. There was a kid who laid on the floor today, and I don't care.
This is like the worst week ever for teachers.
Yeah.
Every year, it's the week before Christmas, and just all the things that they do and say and craziness. And
right.
And we have dress-up days every day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like yesterday was, what was it? Anyway, today was red and green day. So you had to wear as much red and green as you could. And
oh, that's cool.
Oh, yesterday was your favorite character. So I wore my buddy the elf sweatshirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, tomorrow's ugly sweater day. And so the kids are all hyped up because of all that. And there's hat day, Christmas hat day, and pajama day. And so they're all excited about that, too. And
oh, that's awesome.
And then I have a smart board in my room. And because it's, you know, Christmas time, I put the on YouTube, you can just go find a fire crackling in the fireplace. Nice. You know, cool. So I put that on in the room.
Aww.
And last week I had kids come in. They're like, oh, that's really nice. You know, I said, yeah, I'm trying to warm up the room.
Awesome.
And of course, a couple of them believe me. And then a couple of them are like, no, that doesn't work that way.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah. Cool. So it's fun. It's a fun week, but it's also a very stressful week.
Right. Yeah.
So well, like,
I could be able to chat with you and get your interview and get your, you know, story out there, and maybe you'll save someone's life someday. Who knows? You know, hopefully the ladies out there will hear this and check the boobs, because you know,
check the boobs. That's so, right.
All right. Well, it was so nice to talk to you. And
yeah, you too.
I mean, I'll see you probably sometime next week.
We'll see you at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you. Before we go though, because if I hang up with you, it'll end the episode. I just want to plug some things. So for everybody out there who's listening, you can find Flavor by Jessica on Spotify, Google Play, and I'm hopefully going to be on Apple Podcasts soon. Throw it out there, comment to them, let them know you want to hear it on there, because I'm really pushing for that. But mostly Spotify. If you want to contact me at all, you can look up Flavor by Jessica on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're on all three. And then if you want to send me any questions, comments, concerns, shout outs, I like dog memes. If you have any questions about Lisa or anybody else I've interviewed, send me an email at flavorbyjessica@outlook.com. I look forward to hearing from you all. And again, thank you, Aunt Lisa, for letting me interview you tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.